What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
Certain people don't know I headed off to the track yesterday, but it was good. Good day at the track.
Did you go down to Retama, or did you go out to your little secret one in Fredericksburg?
No. I went to Retama. 2-1 over a 45, the one for a $2 bet for $164. At a $2 bet with a 13-1 over a 14-1, it played $393. I was smoking. Then I had to jump in a car because I had to get back.
Sneak back.
Yeah, man. Sometimes you have to. Where'd you go? Where'd you been? Oh, hey, yeah.
BK, something tells me we won't be talking about this at like the 8 o'clock hour.
Oh, hell no.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 1049 AM 1260 and HornFM.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talk Sports.
Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, oh, oh. Wake up all the teachers, time to teach.
Yes, sir, get them up. Get them out on a Monday. Early bird gets the worm, and off we go with 4 hours of fun and conversation on a big day. Not just any Monday. It is Solar Eclipse Monday. Total Solar Eclipse Monday. Also back to school for AISD and a lot of youngsters out there, so be advised, be ready. School zones, school buses, the whole bit will be up and running early this morning as most of the Central Texas area going back to school today. Not mine, though. We still have another week. We go back next Monday, but out in Hays Counties, but in Hays ISD. But good luck to all the youngsters making it back to school today throughout the ISD and throughout the area. Thrilled to be joined this morning as Bucky Godbolt is still in his Great Western trip to Idaho and back. He'll be back tomorrow. Joined here this morning for most of the show by the voice of the Longhorns, our great friend Craig Way. Hello,
good morning.
Craig.
Good morning. And by the way, just for the record, the Leander ISD also is just like the Hays ISD. It'll be next Monday.
Next Monday.
I got one to go, and he starts his senior year on Monday.
I've got two. I've got a sophomore and a junior that'll head back to school next Monday, but most of the listening area is back. I know last week, Lake Travis and Hutto and some other school districts got back into school. Today will be AISD and others. But yeah, the staggered starts for the schools continue, but be advised, those school crossings, school zones, slow them down. Look out for the big yellow buses throughout the morning.
No cell phone operating in the school zone areas.
No. How are you, Mr. Way?
I'm good. I'm good. It's good to be in this morning.
Good to have you.
Glad to be here. You know, it was great to be in here. I figured we had this, you know, wide array of topics to discuss. I was watching the Longhorn basketball team
playing right now.
They're playing in Australia right now, and the Illawarra Hawks are giving them all they want. In fact, let me tell you, they're getting beat bad. It's 82-56.
Yeah, Shaka Smart's team playing down under in a series of games in Australia. Kind of a summer trip. The women are in Italy.
Yes, and they've been very, very successful over there. They've played pretty well over there. And the guys have as well. They've just run into a really good team today. And I did see Mo Bamba knock down a three-pointer. I don't know if
Longhorn Mo Bamba.
I don't know that if Longhorn Feds are going to see Mo cranking up a lot of threes, but he looked pretty comfortable when he knocked one down.
No question. Well, Craig will be here as much as he can this morning. He's going to have to head over to UT football practice this morning, probably during the 9 o'clock hour. But Craig's been hanging out covering that camp, so we'll talk plenty of Texas football. Now 12 days to the start of the Texas football season. Hear from Tom Herman. Craig's going to do his Craig Way report live because, of course, why wouldn't he? He's sitting right here. We'll also talk about the two Texas NFL teams over the weekend, Houston and the Cowboys. Both played preseason games. Plenty to chew on there. And certainly some baseball as well. Pennant race is 6 weeks to go. Got to get into this with Craig because you're a big LA Dodgers fan. I would say, have you ever seen anything like this? But I know the answer because no one's ever seen anything like the current installment of the Los Angeles Dodgers.
It's gotten to the point where, as a Dodger fan, I felt genuine disappointment that they actually lost a game yesterday.
Yeah, Justin Verlander.
He looked great, and I watched a lot of it, and he looked great, and Kenta Maeda looked pretty good. I mean,
lost many.
No, they only 35 total. This year. They're 88 and 35. So,
88. Yeah. BK, I saw a stat that going into the weekend, I think when they won Friday or Saturday, they had won 51 of 60. They were 51-9 in 60-game stretch.
In the modern era, no team had ever done that in a 60-game stretch.
Is that plus, good?
They acquire Curtis Granderson over the weekend. The Grandy man can. Because Jock Peterson wasn't hitting, so now he's going to lead off and hit a home run yesterday. It's ridiculous.
He supplied their only run yesterday, and they sent Jock Peterson down to Oklahoma City to work on that big looping swing he's got. They'll bring him back up in September. But I noticed some Ranger fans chortling in social media about how Yu Darvish has already gone to the DL. Precautionary thing, had a little bit of back tightness. Yeah. He's going to skip one term, but they say he'll be back on Sunday. But you always worry about that. And Clayton Kershaw will throw 45 pitches in a simulated game today, and they think if everything's all right, he'll be back in a week.
Yeah, we'll also get the Astro fans out there updated with all the DL situations they've got, including Lance McCullers and others, and they think they're going to get their full complement of players back by the end of the month. So we'll get to some baseball, plenty of football, of course, and some hoops from down under. But right now, let's get you the news. Ticket City Update Desk, time to start your Monday. All right, we'll start with the headlines. How about Texas football? Longhorns held their third scrimmage and final scrimmage of their five-week training camp on Saturday morning. Head coach Tom Herman said the defense won the scrimmage for the third straight Saturday. Coach clearly pleased with the progress on that side of the ball. When asked about the quarterbacks, Coach Herman stopped short of naming sophomore Shane Bouchel the starter, saying, quote, if we had a game tomorrow, it'd be him. So meaning Bouchel. Also said freshman Sam Ellinger pushing him and playing well. Here's Coach Herman on the overview of the quarterbacks.
We're not dynamic there. You know, it's not Vince Young. It's not Braxton Miller, but we're good enough to win with.
Good enough to win with. 12 days, Texas and Maryland. We'll talk plenty about the Longhorns coming up throughout the morning. Both Texas NFL teams played their preseason games on Saturday night. Number three for the Cowboys. They lost to the Colts 24-19, but that first-team offense looked to be in midseason form when right down the field, Dez Bryant caught a touchdown pass on the first series. Did linebacker Jalen Smith made his NFL debut, started at linebacker, played well in that game. Texans topped the Patriots 27-23. Starting quarterback Tom Savage with a strong performance. Also a strong performance for the former Longhorn, Deontay Foreman. Ripped off a long touchdown or long catch in the second half. Also scored his first touchdown. Foreman darted in for the Texans on a five-yard touchdown run. Texans get the win 27-23. Baseball, first-place Astros looking to finish a sweep of the A's yesterday at Minute Maid Park. Fell short, sloppy, in a 3-2 loss. Couple of unearned runs they're undoing. They still lead the AL West by 12 games. Rangers fell to the White Sox by the same score, 3-2, in blazing hot Arlington yesterday afternoon. Rangers dropped 2.5 games back of the Twins and Angels for the AL's second wildcard spot. Rangers finished that 10-game homestand at 7-3, but split the four-game set with the Chicago White Sox. Rangers third baseman Joey Gallo and reliever Matt Bush, both in the concussion protocol now and will not travel with the team to Anaheim after a scary collision during that game yesterday. Ran into each other trying to catch a pop fly. Neither will travel to Anaheim. Dell Diamond last night, Omaha, even their series with the Express at a game each with a 5-1 win. Same two again tonight right here on the Horn, 7:05. And to golf, an incredible week of golf ended in heartbreak yesterday for Texas golfer Doug Gim. At the U.S. Amateur at Riviera Country Club in Los Angeles, after defeating five match play opponents, the Longhorn senior was in the 36-hole final pairing yesterday with Clemson sophomore Doc Redman. And Gim was two up with two holes to play, needing just to half one of the final two holes to claim the biggest prize in amateur golf. That's when Redman went superhero, rolled in a 60-foot eagle putt on 17 to claim that hole. Then Redman carved an approach shot on 18 to within 8 feet, drained it for birdie. He wins back-to-back holes to force an extra hole. And a stunned Gim made a mess of that first playoff hole, conceded before Redman even had a chance to putt. Gim settles for the runner-up honors despite shooting 67-68 in yesterday's rounds. Nothing to sneeze at, but heartbreak at the end. PGA Tour Henrik Stenson won the Wyndham Championship in Greensboro with a final round 64 yesterday. And that's the news. Did you watch any of that U.S. Amateur?
I did. I was absolutely
Isn't that stunning?
Like somebody shocked.
Anybody that's played match play, I mean, you are two up with two to play to claim the U.S. Amateur.
Have one of them. Just be able to. And when a guy knocks
and he in a birdie par.
Yeah. And when a guy knocks in a 55-footer, you figure
downhill,
maybe it's
winding
not my day.
Putt. I mean, all you got to. Yeah, because, I mean, for people like Big BK and others who don't follow golf closely, it's match play. You got to win the hole. Well, they're on 17, which is a par five. You know, Redman, the sophomore, he's 55, 60 feet away.
He had what I call a Rand McNally putt. You need a road map to find the hole once you're on the
green. And it wasn't straight. I mean, it was downhill, curving right to left. And so, you know, Gim's sitting there on the 17th green in good shape. He's going to make a birdie. He's in good shape to make a birdie. All that can't happen is this guy knocked down this bomb from 60 feet.
All he had
feet.
To do was just miss that, and it would have been over at that point. The match is over. They don't even play 18
They don't
at
even play
point.
18. So he slams it from 60 feet out. Gim is stunned. He makes his birdie. They go to 8. You know, at that point, the hole's over. He just made a 3 on a 5. So now they go to 18, and another unbelievable shot for Redmond. A little, baby fade carve up on 18. Riviera is such a beautiful golf course. And to, you know, then he makes an 8-foot uphill birdie putt. So he goes 3-3 while Gim goes 4-4. And now you're in extra time. You just had this thing in your hands.
Yeah.
And then he's stunned on the playoff hole. You could tell he didn't regroup very well.
Hooked the drive, and that was that.
No, he just hooked it off the tee. What a shame. But what a great week of golf. He beat 5 different opponents, and the Longhorns almost had both U.S. amateur champs.
Very close.
Because the young lady? Schubert.
Sophia Schubert.
Sophia Schubert won it a week ago. She won the U.S. women's amateur. And now Doug Gim had a really good look at the U.S. men's amateur, which, as I said in the update, the biggest prize in amateur golf is to win that. And Gim had it. But, you know, if you're looking for some solace for Doug Gim, he's going to get to play in the Masters. Both players who play in that final pairing get invited to play at the Masters next April.
So I like what he said. He said, "Yeah, I'm disappointed, but I'm young. I'll learn. I'll learn.
Well, that's just one of those.
I'm disappointed, but I'm young. I'll learn.
That's just golf, you know.
Yeah.
That's just golf. I mean, what are you going to do? Guy makes a 60-foot bomb. Pretty amazing. So give Doc Redmond credit. He made some incredible shots. We'll talk plenty of Longhorn football coming up. We'll also dive into the top 10 of the Horns top 25 countdown. We are at number 10 on this Monday. We'll do that coming up. But, Craig, before we get into the Longhorns and everything going on there, I know our audience wants to hear your thoughts on Longhorns 12 days out. What did you make of the Texas NFL teams over the weekend, if we can take anything from preseason football?
Yeah, I always like that qualifier when you have the first couple of weeks there. I thought that the first units for both sides look crisp. The Texans, I thought, looked really sharp in watching what they were doing on those first three initial drives. And I liked what their defense did in two of the three drives against Tom Brady. And I was watching that is interested to see. It was Brady's first snaps since the final snap to win the Super Bowl. So I was looking to see how he did, and they picked him off, but then he led a touchdown drive, and so I was kind of curious to see how the Texans defense would look as well as the quarterback battle that's going on there.
Yeah, Brady played a series or two, 6 for 9 for 67 yards. He had a pick that got then overturned in that first
that's
quarter.
That's right.
It was just foot out of bounds. But a great play by Andre Howell, the Texans safety. I agree with you. I mean, we know the Texans quarterback battle will be much talked about. I thought Tom Savage clearly showed, and that's been the word because the Patriots practiced with the Texans a couple days last week, and the word coming out of the Greenbrier in West Virginia is that really Tom Savage has grabbed that job and seized it. He's played really well. He went 8 for 9, 98 yards, and led them on a touchdown drive. And it would have been, you know, two scoring drives, but for whatever reason, Bill O'Brien tried to go for it on
fourth and six.
Fourth and goal from the 7 or 8 yard line.
And said, "Yeah, we'll go for it," and they got stuffed.
Yeah, well, it wasn't fourth and goal. It was fourth and six, but it was inside the 10-yard line.
Yeah,
could have kicked a field goal right there. But first team offense looked strong, even without DeAndre Hopkins or Braxton Miller. Really, their starting receivers weren't playing. But a touchdown pass to Jalen Strong in the back of the end zone was a good throw. Defense is going to be the defense. And, you know, I left watching that game and talking to folks who were watching the practices up at the Greenbrier. I don't know if New England's going to lose any games this year. I mean, New England is so deep. I mean, I know it's just a preseason, and they lost, and they've lost two games, so now they're in full panic up there in New England. But, gosh.
Which is exactly
crazy.
Where Belichick wants it to be.
Yeah, they're crazy deep at every position. I was watching the former Plano high guy, Rex Burkhead, running the ball. I mean, he was their starting running back in that game and playing really well. He out of the backfield, he's just this, you can't cover him with linebackers.
He's another one of those pieces that Belichick did. Rex Burkhead, like you said.
You saw him in high school.
I did. He was a Plano Wildcat. And then the outstanding Nebraska Cornhusker. Played well at Nebraska.
Yeah, he was a
Rex
good player
Burkhead
there.
Did. Yeah, and then of course he's been productive with the Bengals.
Just a perfect little piece.
He's complimentary piece to what Bill Belichick likes with his offense.
BK shoots good free throws. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Son of a coach.
All the intangibles.
The intangibles for Rex Burkhead. So the Texans get a win, and Deontay Foreman, by the way. Now, he didn't play till the second half. Which, if you're a Texas Longhorn fan, and you're watching Deontay. Alfred Blue. The kid Tyler Irvin, they're getting most of the reps, is the second running back behind Lamar Miller. But Deontay Foreman is certainly making a push. Every time he hits the field, he seems to make a play. Had a big catch and run. And how about that? I mean, Deshaun Watson's the quarterback at the time. They spread Deontay Foreman out into like a four wide receiver set, so it's an empty set in the backfield. And Deontay Foreman, who caught like 9 balls last year for the Longhorns, runs a little crossing route. Deshaun Watson threads the needle between a couple of defenders. And how about Deontay Foreman showing the hands? And then at 250 or 245, he's rumbling and stumbling all the way down, almost scored a touchdown. We talked on Friday, Craig, with John Harris of the Houston Texans Radio Network, and I asked him about did you see that maybe surprised you in camp? And he said the hands of Deontay Foreman, when we didn't know he could catch. The guy can catch.
And he has maintained all along that he can. I mean, I know a lot of Longhorn fans remember, you know, the fumble against Kansas, and they remember some of the other stuff and then drop the bed. But after the game, in talking to Deontay, what the reporters were hearing was him saying, I'm glad I got a chance to show that I can catch the football.
Well, he's got a receiver for a twin brother.
Yeah.
I mean, he said, and of course, Armonte on social media, I taught him all that.
You're right.
Was fun to watch Deontay. Then he scored a touchdown, which was neat to see, his first pro touchdown in his hometown there of Houston.
Which turned out to be the game winner, keep track of such things.
Game winner. In preseason. Winning matters. But, so strong performance for the Texans, and I thought the Cowboys...
Dak and Des, they were back on display.
Yeah, they win 24-19, and that first-team offense. I mean, I might – BK, you be okay to sit everybody out now? Just be getting ready for the last thing you need to – you see where Seattle, their left tackle, got hurt in the preseason game. That's really all you got to worry about with that first-team offense is keep people healthy.
Everybody out.
Everybody out.
Three big offensive linemen, number 4, number 88. You know,
sit them down.
Get them out.
Whatever you're going to get out of Zeke, you don't want to see him. Hell, even McFadden or Morris, I'm scared to play at this point.
Yeah, I mean, why would you? I mean, Zeke Elliott's going to have his appeal hearing on the 29th. That obviously will play out. How about Jerry Jones being conspicuously quiet on that matter? I mean, doesn't even want to. Like, he's not going anywhere with that.
Well, he has, and didn't want to get into that right now. Was how he was saying, I think, the other day. He did not want to talk about it.
And, yes,
which can tell you a couple of things. Either, which is quite often the case with Jerry, he has something up his sleeve.
Well, he wants to wait till that appeal hearing comes.
I want me some glory hole.
I'm smiling when I say that. Either has something up his sleeve, or he knows that it's not good, and that the appeal is going to be shut down.
That's
it's one or the other. I think.
You're right. You're right about that. Cowboys get the win, but they've already played 3 preseason games. But that first team offense, Dak was 7 for 8 for 106 yards, went right down the field.
Oh yeah.
By all accounts, Dez Bryant is poised for a huge year. He looks to be in great shape. Just making in short work, making the Colts secondary. Look pretty silly in that first quarter.
And if the Colts don't have Andrew Luck for that opener,
oh man,
are they in trouble?
Tolzien. Speaking of number 10 on our countdown, the number 1, Scott Tolzien era. That's a really scary situation for the Colts. And I don't even know if you could be cautiously optimistic at this point. Andrew Luck had offseason shoulder surgery. He hasn't taken a snap.
Jim Irsay's just said, we don't know.
We don't know. Everybody's fingers are crossed. But
does that guy still have a job?
Who, Irsay?
Yeah.
Well, it's called owner.
He owns.
but you know what? You know what, BK? What you're doing is you're asking the question that many Cowboy fans asked of Jerry Jones for decades, over a couple of decades. Yep. You know, how's that guy still in charge? Well, he owns a team.
He owns a team. It's his.
Yeah. Not much that can be done.
Hey, so a lot to do today. We'll dive into that Horn Top 25. Craig Way is here. Can't wait to get your thoughts on Longhorn camp and practice. You've been there for all 3 weeks and talking to the coaches and getting a good vantage point of what's coming in 12 days. We'll talk the quarterbacks. I know your Craig Way report is coming up, which will spur a conversation. Before we get to the first break, though, today is the 21st of August, which means Solar Eclipse Day. We've been talking about it for a month now on the show. BK doesn't care. He's just going to close. He'll be doing his own show in the midday.
I got him to care about it just enough to where we'll have a little
fun with it today.
A little representative musical bump or two with regard to the eclipse.
Well, the eclipse is today, lunch hour. Get your glasses out. About a 65% eclipse here in Austin. We talked on Friday with our friend Monty Williams, who's making the trip to Carbondale, Illinois with his 3 boys. They're going to get to the zone of totality to see the full eclipse, the corona, the whole bit. He's worried it's going to turn into an apocalyptic event trying to get to Carbondale. But
it'll be kind of like, in some places, in Carbondale might be the epicenter of it. It'll be almost kind of like a Woodstock Yeah. Type of thing. There'll be people there filling the stadiums. There'll be vans pulled over on the side of the road. There will be people shedding their clothes. There'll be naked
right.
children running around.
Be crazy.
People will be taking acid.
Dogs
it'll
be barking.
The, I'm telling you, it'll be the 60s all over again.
It will be. And people just are ripping their clothes off.
Yeah.
It's going to be very spiritual for a lot of people. And Carbondale, as it turns out, is actually the zone of total totality. It's like it's the ultimate. It'll be the longest totality in Carbondale, which is why people are making this pilgrimage, including Monty. But how about this? Nick Saban, of course, head coach at Alabama, maybe the greatest college football coach of all time, was asked.
If you want to eclipse the eclipse, ask Nick.
Ask Nick, right? Because it does make a little. So Nick Saban was asked about the eclipse and his team and would they stop to look at it and whatnot. Now, and keep in mind when you hear this cut from practice on Saturday or after practice, Nick Saban has a lake house in Georgia that is going to be right in the center of this path. So that's
right.
what he's referring to at the end of this. But here's Nick Saban. Does he care about Eclipse Monday?
You know, we'll set it up so if the players want to go out there and get some sunglasses and look at it, I guess they can. That's not something that I'm really that focused on right now. You know, I watch the Weather Channel every day. They're already saying what it's going to look like in every city in America. So what's going to be significant? Just watch the Weather Channel. You see what's going to be like in Portland, Oregon. You know, it's Clayton, Georgia is the number one place in the country to have 100%. You know, there are all kind of people there. My house will probably be the only empty house on the whole lake. So I'm going to watch it on TV. Maybe we should have a team meeting about how we're going to do this. I haven't thought of that yet.
So there you go. Nick Saban, kind of like you, BK. Well, whatever. I'll watch the Weather Channel.
Yeah, but he's like that about everything.
Everything, yeah.
That's the thing. He is,
well, so is BK.
Like I said, he has to be as successful and as good a coach as he is, he has to be the most miserable man in America.
Oh.
He's just, there is never any pleasing him.
No, there's not. I'll be checking out the eclipse at lunch hour today. I'm not nobody go blind. We got a note from the HOA.
Yeah.
Hey, keep your pets inside. Your pets can go blind
yeah.
if they're outside looking
they
up.
They say that dogs, by and large, won't pay attention. Because, you know, dogs kind of lead an unaffected life. You know, dogs just kind of run around. You know, they just kind of.
But there is
there's
old history that these eclipses create weirdness within
other animals
freak out
in the animal kingdom. They do there are lots of things that happen with other animals. Dogs by and large are
whatever.
Yeah.
All right, we'll come back. We'll have a fun morning with Craig Way hanging out. Voice of the Longhorns is here. We'll talk Texas. Here's a text that says, y'all see Herman on the news last night getting testy about who the official starting quarterback will
be. Oh, you're going to hear it. You're going to hear it coming up in the Craig Way report.
That's right. That's where we tease. And then your thoughts on the quarterback situation, the Texas offense versus the defense, plus our Horn Top 25. Hits number 10 on this Monday. Lot to do. Glad you're with us here on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260, streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. Here comes the sun, and there goes the sun. Here comes the nice sun. Choice, BK. And Craig Way hanging out with us this morning.
You got to understand it. With BK, I was indoctrinating him on a little Beatleology here, you know, because the Beatles did, you know, several, climatologically based songs.
Yeah. Sun songs, moon songs. Hey, total solar eclipse will cross the United States from coast to coast today. First time that's happened since 1918. And how about this from the New York Times? I was reading this. The veteran eclipse chasers say you should prepare to feel changed forever if this is your first total eclipse. I don't know about that, but that's what they said. But it'll come in.
Veteran eclipse chasers?
That's what it says.
They're kind of like the ones that go around in a van, you know, looking for tornadoes.
You talk about Nick Saban being depressing. I mean, that is as depressing as it gets.
Heavy traffic anticipated in many states. We'll see. Monty Williams, our good friend, is on his way there. Bucky Godbolt's in Idaho. He's right in the path of totality.
I got a son in Omaha who's
that's a good
looking
place to
forward
be.
To watching it with the glasses today.
Yeah, that'll be 100% right there. Mm-hmm. Nashville is going to get 100%er as well today, or pretty dang near. All right, Craig's going to hang with us as much as he can this morning. We've got to go to UT football practice coming up. But before we get to our Horn Top 25 and hit number 10 on our countdown to number 1, we got to get our Monday morning Craig Way report, and look who's here.
Yeah, and it heads down, starts to begin to head down the home stretch You know, one thing that was interesting, and I was talking, you know, I always talk about how all three of the area's college football programs, Texas State, don't forget about Southwestern University and Georgetown, they played D3, and Joe Austin, their head coach, was on with Mike Capps the other night during the Express game.
Yeah, they had Southwestern.
The team was out there, and
he was on with us right as they were opening camp.
Yeah, and he was talking about how they had they're in a different situation in D3, not only non-scholarship, they had a 10-day break. And then that's why they had the team out there last night. So different things for different programs, the way it goes. Well, they had the scrimmage, obviously, on Saturday. And Tom Herman did come away with it. When you look at a scrimmage, you have that sliding scale of how much are you pleased with one side and displeased with the other. Because if the defense plays great, then maybe that means the offense didn't play great. But how much of it was the defense playing well and how much of it was the offense not playing well? Well, Coach Herman prefers to skew it toward the fact that he likes what his defense is doing because he said in order to win and to win big at this level, you've got to have outstanding defense.
I try to tell anybody that'll listen, I think since the BCS was formed, I'll say it again, one national champion was outside of the top 25 in defense, and that was Auburn. They were 32nd, I believe, and they also had a kid on their team named Cam Newton. So history has proven in this great game that you got to play great defense to win championships, and so very encouraged.
So he was encouraged about that, but then the inevitable questions came about the quarterback situation, and they wanted to know. And remember, Aaron, this goes back to after the first, because I've been there at those availabilities when I've heard this. He was asked after the very first practice, when would you like to have you be able to name your starting quarterback? When would you like? And his response at that time were, and pay close attention to the words, ideally, is what he said. Ideally, you'd like to have it with 2 weeks out. Because then you know, and you're putting in the install for Maryland, you're getting ready, ideally. So Saturday was 2 weeks to the opener. So naturally, someone had asked him one question about the quarterbacks. He said, good, you know, they're making progress. Things look okay. Then somebody asked something else. And then it got to the third thing. Well, you told us 2 weeks ago. So by then, it's the third question they've asked him in a very short sequence when they're asking about the starting quarterback. So this was his response.
I mean, that's a big deal, huh? I mean, I've said over and over again that if we played a game tomorrow, Shane Buechele would start. So what, I don't know, we'll get a depth chart to make it Facebook official, I guess. Is that what we got to do?
Yeah, is that what we got to make it Facebook official? Is that what we got to do? He was more puzzled than that. Somebody wrote it testy. He was more puzzled about, really? Is that big a deal? And Kirk Bowles from the Austin American Saints says, well, you just brought up Cam Newton. So, you know, it's obviously quarterback is a big deal around Texas. So he's like, look, I've said all along, if we played tomorrow, it'd be Shane. You know, and I going all the way back to the first practice, ideally, you'd like to have it settled. I think he probably feels like he's got it settled, but, you know, he stopped short of saying, this is the guy, which I know a lot of folks want to do.
Yeah.
Brought to you by Bud Light.
And there it is.
Yeah, Bud Light, also brought to you by Bud Light, was Coke Fest on Saturday. How about that event out in Hutto, Texas? 7,000 people.
The only thing missing from Coke Fest on Saturday was the eclipse, you know?
Yeah,
they had everything
else. Could have used some sun. It was hot, but yeah. It was a great time. And congratulations to our friends Bob Cole and Eric Raines and Rita and Lise and everybody that put on Coke Fest. That was a heck of an event. And Robert Earl Keen and Turnpike Troubadours. Once sun went down, that place was rocking. It was hot until, but good job by them, Bud Light. And there were a ton of, you know, Budweiser was a huge sponsor of that Coke Fest event. And they had a lot of Honor Flight veterans, which was fantastic as well. So good stuff over the weekend. The good, the bad, and the ugly, we do it each Monday. Craig Way is here, and that's the Craig Way Report. Have another one live at just after 8:30. But before we get too far, let's get to the first look, our first look, at the number 10 team in our Horn Countdown to number 1.
The Horn's top 25 countdown.
What a hurdle by Jackson! Highlight reel, touchdown! Lamar Jackson does it again!
Inside the 10, Tyrone to the 5, swoops! There he is! Touchdown, Texas!
Watson takes a snap, rolls right, looks into the end zone.
Hunter Renfro caught it! Touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown!
Number 10, Wisconsin Badgers.
All right, Wisconsin Badgers at 10. Another team out of the Big Ten. 1 hour from now for you Big Ten fans, we're going to talk to Howard Griffith of the Big Ten Network. He'll help us preview
Why are we hearing the fight song for Vista Ridge? I mean, no, it's Wisconsin. It's on Vista Ridge. It's on you Rangers instead of on Wisconsin.
And my Hayes County brethren will correct me if I'm wrong on this, because I probably will be. I think that is also the new fight song for the Hayes Rebels when they got rid of
Dixieland.
Yeah. And that did not go over well down in Hayes County, but they changed it. And I think...
From Dixie to
I think that.
On Wisconsin.
I think so.
That's Vista Ridge's song. I know that.
Yeah. Well, Wisconsin, really a quality football team. They've got a quarterback. They're kind of the sleeping giant of the Big Ten. But they play on that other side of the bracket, other side of the division, or other side of the conference from Michigan, Ohio State, and Penn State. So
they're the best team in the West.
Best team in the West, and they don't... Schedule sets up. Let's hear from Lee Sterling, ParamountSports.com. We talked with him before we started our countdown. He also, I think, pretty darn high on the Wisconsin Badgers.
Who put him at 10? I think you and I are like the only ones that put him here. Did you or Bucky like maybe date someone in college that went to Wisconsin?
No. We like the Big Ten. I mean, Big Ten's tough, baby.
Well, here's the positive for Wisconsin. The positive is schedule sets up beautifully. Yep. I mean, they got to play BYU September 16th and at Nebraska. But after that, at Illinois, at Indiana, at Minnesota, they get by those two games. They might be home free because their two toughest games at home are Iowa and Michigan, who I think are nothing special this year. So I love the schedule, love the fact that even though they had a lot of injuries last year, they got to play a lot of younger players, so they're able to build depth. Their quarterback's Alex Hornibrook, not a guy that's going to play in the NFL. Looks like he's pushing the ball, but very accurate, almost 63% completion percentage. Bring over a running back, Chris James, from Pitt. He'll step in for Corey Clement, and with a huge offensive line. I mean, they got guys, smallest offensive lineman, 306 pounds. They average 322 pounds across the offensive line. They gained 4.3 yards per carry. They're going to gain close to 5 yards per carry this year. And like I said, with the depth and also bringing over a snobber knocker at linebacker this year from a transfer from Alabama named Christian Bell, who's 6'4", 246. This is a team that could come together and surprise some people. I think Wisconsin might get into the Final Four. They're not the most talented, but it's not about talent. Sometimes it's schedule and who you beat. I have Wisconsin getting into the Final Four. And remember, Paul Christ, he knows how to coach and win these low-scoring games. Wisconsin Badgers, look out for them in 2017.
We have them at 10. Lee Sterling likes them as a sleeper pick for the Final Four. If they can get to that Big Ten championship game and knock off someone like Ohio State or Penn State, they could put themselves into the Final Four. We'll talk about Wisconsin throughout the morning. At the bottom of each hour, we'll have a spotlight and talk to Howard Griffith coming up at 7:30. Bucky's former running back in Illinois now does phenomenal work on the Big Ten Network. His thoughts on Wisconsin at 10, Michigan, and how the Big Ten shakes out in 2017. Craig Way hanging out with us as well. We'll dive into our coaches' corner. Before the top of the hour, we'll revisit the two preseason games over the weekend for the Texans and Cowboys. Is the Texans' quarterback battle starting to take some shape and starting to give you some clarity? And do the Cowboys have a backup quarterback controversy? Is that a question in Big D Dallas? It's B&E on the Horn.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Monday on the Horn, B&E. Be with C. Craig Way hanging with us this morning. Appreciate him being here on his way down to UT football practice. He'll leave some point during the 9 o'clock hour, but hang with us until then. Coming up in our coach's corner, not only do we need to talk some Texas football and Tom Herman, the defense with Todd Orlando. Tom Herman said over the weekend that this team's going to win with great defense and running the football. We'll talk about that. Plus, I know, Craig, you were a part of an event late last week to preview a 30 for 30 documentary that's coming out, I think, Wednesday night.
It'll be Thursday night, but there's a screening in Austin tomorrow night.
Well, I want to get
for it as well.
This is exciting, and of course, you're a high school football legend, high school football Hall of Famer, and a legendary high school football team is being spotlighted coming up, and I want you to talk about that.
Sure.
In our coach's corner, which is exciting.
It's a very, very compelling story. And when the documentary first started, again, we'll get into it later, but when I was contacted to be interviewed and asked about it, and they've got a lot of my play-by-play calls in it, things like that, I wasn't real optimistic because, to me, as I remembered it from 29 years ago, the story did not have a happy ending, but it's the way it's treated is vastly different than how it's been portrayed in the past, and it's really good.
All right, it's about 10 after. Next hour, we'll hit that, the 30 for 30 that's coming out on Thursday, but a screening here in Austin tomorrow night. Craig was a part of a screening last week up in the Metroplex, so we'll get you details on that. We're following the solar eclipse, of course, and I just saw this flash on Twitter that today is the 30th anniversary of Dirty Dancing's debut. Dirty Dancing in movie theaters 30 years ago. Now
30
we're old.
Years ago. Saw that at the theater with my wife back then. We actually stayed at that hotel later.
Oh, in the Poconos?
It's not in the Poconos. That's the thing. Everybody thinks it's in the Poconos. It's actually now the movie is set in the Poconos.
Sure.
The resort is set in the Poconos. The actual place where that place is in southwestern Virginia. It's not far from Virginia Tech.
Oh, wow.
In fact, it's called the Mountain Lake Hotel, and we actually stayed in one of those little cabins.
Nice.
That's there in the lake and the whole bit, when the dining hall where the dining room where they've got all the pictures up and everything like that. So nobody puts baby in a corner.
Nobody puts baby in a corner. BK, I'm assuming no on that, right? Resounding no.
That's the one line I know from that movie.
Right. Yeah.
And I always use it, and I don't know what the hell I'm talking about when I say it.
All right. Hey, let's hit some good, bad, and ugly from the weekend. First, though, let me mention, coming up in our headlines, we'll reset. What a heartbreaking loss for Doug Gim yesterday, the Longhorn senior golfer. We'll reset how he went from about to win the U.S. Amateur to settling for second place. But from your weekend, Craig, we talked some NFL, talked plenty of preseason football. Cowboys and Texans both find wins over the weekend. Not that the scoreboard matters.
Oh, by the way, we'd had a text from... or maybe it was a tweet from our good friend Tom Soteris, who's part of the Texas baseball staff. He goes, "How about some Rams talk?" He was a Rams fan. I watched some of that. Jared Goff looked good.
Did he?
Now, we don't often put those words together. Jared Goff looked good.
Nice.
He led three scoring drives for the Rams.
It's always with the qualifier that it's hard to take a lot from preseason, but
right. You
can certainly see development. And I'll say this for the Cowboys, their first team offense. I'd go ahead and wrap those guys all up in bubble wrap and wouldn't
absolutely
see the light of day till to the game
hermetically
begin,
seal them
until the games count
until the season opener.
Only thing that can hurt that offense is a key injury to someone key, obviously on the offensive line or Dak or 88 or any of those guys.
I watched some of the Chargers and Saints last night when they were playing.
How full was the soccer? How empty was the soccer stadium?
It was largely full, so they had most of the 27,000 seat capacity taken care of.
Nice.
You know, I remember that place.
Well, what's going to seat more this year, that or the new Katy High School Stadium?
It's close. It's close. Trust me, it's close. And the Katy and the brand new Katy Stadium looks nicer than the StubHub Center, which is, by the way, that's where they had the media day for the Texas Michigan Rose Bowl. I remember being out there, and I just remember being
where
how
was it?
Dirty
because
it was.
I didn't go to the Texas Michigan Rose Bowl, but I did go to media day for the Texas USC. I thought that's where that was as well.
Yeah, they had it there as well.
That's remember the
You're
pour
right.
down rain.
Yes, and I missed that because I was out there obviously the whole weekend to call the game, but I flew back. The day of that media day to call the Texas basketball game at then third-ranked Memphis, and Texas was six, and P.J. Tucker had a huge game, and the Longhorns won the game in Memphis.
Is that John Calipari?
Back. Yes.
John Calipari, Coach Cal.
At the FedEx Forum in a sellout, and P.J. Tucker had a huge game, and Texas beat Memphis, then a turnaround and flew back across the country back to get there the day before the Rose Bowl. So I actually missed that particular media day, but you're right. It was then called the Home Depot Center. Now it's the StubHub Center.
I went to that media day for Texas USC 11 years ago, and I nearly died because I was in a rental car driving down. I think it's the 410. Is it the 410?
The 405.
405.
And if you're in California, you always had the word "the" in front of it. It's not. I was going
the
down 405. I was going down I-30. No, you were going to the 405.
And it was raining sideways, sideways. And then I got to where the media day was.
Yeah.
And you had to get the media day was starting and you had to get inside. It was pouring down rain. Everybody was soaking wet. It was horrifying. And then of course the Rose Bowl came 3 days later and it was beautiful, beautiful. But all right, so a lot to do. Good, bad, and ugly from the weekend. BK, is there a backup quarterback controversy in Dallas? Who is this Cooper Rush character?
He's a good kid, man. Played at Central Michigan in college. Was a solid player there. And
is he going to be the backup quarterback?
I don't know. I
mean, he's outplaying your current quarterback, Kellen Moore.
Kellen Moore sucks. I mean, everybody knows that. You feel for the kid, right? He's, what, the winningest college quarterback ever. He broke Colt McCoy's record at Boise State. But, yeah, I mean, Kellen Moore's looked bad. And Cooper Rush, once again, he's only going against twos, threes, and fours when he's out there. But he's looked pretty solid.
Eight for nine, 92 yards, and two touchdowns.
Yeah, man.
On Saturday,
Kellen Moore, like 10 of 20,000?
10 of 21.
Almost.
So that's the issue for the Cowboys on offense. Defensively, obviously, they're trying to, you know, make some things happen. It was great to see Jalen Smith back on the field, number 54.
Yes, it was.
Made the start, made some plays, and that's just... That's such a great story to see him back and playing, and who knows what kind of impact he can have this year, but certainly great to see him back.
Yeah, and I think that was one of the very highly anticipated things. I thought Brad Cham made a very good point on the broadcast the other night when he said he could not remember the hype about a drafted defensive player about to play his first game that much since Randy White.
The Manster.
Yeah, in the 70s. That's and one more note on Cooper Rush. You know who Cooper Rush is, don't you, Aaron?
Uh-oh.
He's got to hit the touchdown pass to beat Oklahoma State in that Central Michigan crazy thing.
I'm a man.
The Hail Mary lateral.
That ain't true.
The Hail Mary lateral that never should have been.
Yes.
That absolutely. Ain't true.
The untimed down. The two dirtiest words in Stillwater. Untimed down.
The
Hail
Cooper Mary
Rush.
Lateral that the Chippewas
yes.
got that win. Cooper Rush is showing out for the Cowboys. In Texans camp, meanwhile, Deontay Foreman continues to show out and make plays, scored his first pro touchdown in the second half of their win over New England, and as you mentioned, Craig, went on to be the game-winning touchdown, turned mm-hmm. out to be 27-23. But you know, one of the things I've said about the Texans quarterback battle, if it's close at the end, it's got to be, I just go with the future and Deshaun Watson. As I said, if you're a Texan, you hope that Tom Savage creates separation and there really is no debate. I think coming out of preseason game number two, you're starting to move towards the latter.
Yep.
That Tom Savage is really emerging as the starter. Deshaun Watson is a rookie who's going to be the backup. But it was good to see Tom Savage. He really picked apart that New England first-team defense, and that's a really good defense with good corners. And the Texans didn't have DeAndre Hopkins or Braxton Miller. They were down to their third and fourth and fifth wide receivers, and he still took them up and down the field.
He looked very comfortable
in the
pocket.
Word.
Offensive line really did a fine
job.
That was a
big up for me because the offensive line is a question mark, and they were going against those ones for the Patriots and doing a good job of creating a pocket for Savage. That was encouraging.
That's the most encouraging thing when you watch a preseason game, and we've talked about it many times. You know, watch the first two or three series when it's ones on ones because you don't get to see much of that.
And you know, there's no game plan going on.
Right.
But yes, they did create a nice pocket. Tom Savage looked comfortable. So yes, that was fun to watch. Good football over the weekend, or at least a little bit of good football.
Mm-hmm.
Longhorns playing football in 12 days. We'll talk about it. Also, this 30 for 30 that's coming out on Thursday. Craig will give you a behind the scenes account plus plenty of baseball, Astros, Rangers, and Craig's Dodgers doing historic things. It's B&E on the Horn.